Good evening, or good time, good, hi, TWA, it is Clover. I was going to, record a full audio tonight, and I have a whole bunch that I've recorded and queued up and, like, wanted to edit, and get out, but then something happened, something truly tragic. Wine happened, so I don't feel comfortable recording anything new. Because I don't think I can read. Oh, that sounds awful. And I don't particularly feel like editing anything because I also, don't trust myself to do that. Because I'm already bad at editing and adding on a pair of beer goggles is probably not going to help. So I've decided to record a completely improvised, questionnaire from Baby Petals D Flower Questionnaire. Which is second, which is wonderful because I like flower themes. Oleander and I, if you didn't notice, we both have flowers as our name. Isn't that wonderful? And we sometimes refer to the folks who listen to our stuff as part of the stuff we put out as the garden. Why? Because we're cheesy, obviously. Okay, so the first question is, what are your top three favorite foods? Okay. That would be mushroom fricassee, and it's grits with truffle, and it's wonderful, with mushrooms on top. I love mushrooms, I love truffle, I love butter, I love truffle butter, what else? I'm a vegetarian, I like Massaman curry, I like vegetarian Massaman curry, that shit's bomb. And I'm a complete sweet person. I don't know if they have any other questions about sweets. I don't know if they was talking about, like, meals or foods. I love a quality fruit tart. I love a fruit tart. I love, like a nice pastry shell with, like, a cream base and then, like, little berries on top. Like, the raspberries and the blackberries and, oh, my God, a blueberry with, like, a nice glaze on top. That's my jam. That is my absolute jam. You didn't know so much passion would be coming out of me talking about food, but welcome to Clover After Dark. I guess Clover After Dark would be my actual sex content, not me talking about food. After Dark, because it's past my bedtime. okay, question two. Now, if you went down on your partner and their genitals tasted like any of the foods mentioned previously, would you be repulsed? Which flavor would you find least weird or most bearable? Okay. Y'all might not know this. Hi, I'm kind of a cum slut. I really, really like tasting, feeling, having cum, like, around me, near me, male, female, I don't care. I like that. If it tasted like truffle, I would be so beyond down. If it tasted like curry, I'd be slightly more confused because of, like, the intricacies of the flavoring, but I'd still be down. If it tasted like fruit, that's, like, the dream. That being said, I do carry that, like, if you can't handle the taste of cum, like, if you, like, can't fuck someone without, like, a flavored condom, or, like, without, like, if you're repulsed by, like, the body's natural, like, tastes, smells, like, sensations, you probably shouldn't be having sex. But that's just me. I don't know. I mean, I like sweat. I like I like the rough, like, primality. I like how primal it is. So yes, like, whatever someone's natural taste is, that's fucking bomb to me. Least weird, I would love fruit. Truffle, I think the most weird would be curry, and I think the least weird would be, like, the berry tart. Because, like, cum tastes salty, but it has natural sugars in it. So, like, replace the sucrose with, like, fructose, or pretend that I know anything about science. And bada bing, bada bazing, we got it. realistically, would you drink a cup full, so, like, 8 ounces of cum or vaginal ejaculate in one sitting of someone you knew and were attracted to? Would I? It's different than what I would want to. Okay, I just went on this whole rant about how I like cum, and now I can't, like, okay, there's nothing sexual or like fun and sexy about getting like a tiny like a test tube and like shot glassing like someone else's cum. Like, I don't think that's sexy. Like, if I got to like mess, if the person was in the room, like across the table from me, and I was like on my knees and I could like kind of tease them with it and like if I could make that into like an experience, then I would love to do that. I would absolutely adore, like, you know, like having it, like drinking it, like letting it run down my chin and my body, and like that'd be really, really hot, and I'd be really, really into that. But just having it like in like a sterile padded cell with like a single tea glass full, and I have to like keep my pinky up as I like sip at somebody else's ejaculate, like that's not fun and sexy. That's just like kind of weird. So would I do it? Yes. Would I prefer to do it under like the right circumstances? Absolutely. What's in your shower? I know this isn't what the question's asking, but I have like 5 rubber duckies and a loofah, all of which I cherished. I've named all the rubber duckies because they all have like accessories. Like one has a pirate hat. I love them all. I know it's actually asking like what shampoos and soaps I have, but like were they expecting me to have like a bright pink loofah and like 5 rubber duckies? I don't think so, and I think that's interesting. So what shampoo I use Daddio by Lush. It is a shampoo for blondes. Hi, I'm blonde. It's like, it's purple, which is really cool, and it smells like flowers, and I like flowers, as I went on about before. But yeah, it helps with like the dullness and brassiness in my hair and keeps it very naturally glossy and shiny. And then I use their Marilyn treatment too on occasion, which I think is wonderful. I only use it like once a month, but it keeps my hair like really, really, really soft. And for like everyday like normal conditioners, I use they're like Veganese. Like it's a very light conditioner. It's called Veganese, also from Lush. Also, sometimes I use their big solid conditioner, but that's if I want like a lot of volume, and I don't always like that because I have very fluffy, frizzy hair. As for soap, I use Dial soap because I'm a basic bitch. And sometimes there's this cherry soap from Philosophy that also doubles as like a bubble bath and like a shampoo and everything, and I use that a lot because it has glitter in it and has like tiny bits of glitter, and I think that's very cute and I like it a lot. I use Barbasol shaving cream. I don't know. It's very cheap. It's very cheap.
Yay.
Would you see a potential in a serious long-term relationship with a person with whom you have a 20-year age gap? Younger or older, doesn't matter. Okay, let me drop some knowledge. I hope this doesn't ruin anyone's fantasies. I'm 22. Someone, a 20 years younger than me would be 2 years old. That'd be 2 years old, which is, illegal and absurd. 20 years older would be 42. This is a person who has nearly double as much life as me. I'm attracted to people older than me. I am very little. I'm very open, very free love. I'm so not turned off by age gaps. However, 20 years is really, really long for me, and I think, like, when I get a bit older, then maybe that'll be okay, but, like, 20 years for me, like, that's a really, really big gap, in terms of, like, percentage of life, so I don't think I would be comfortable with that for me, but other people can do whatever the absolute fuck they want, and maybe even other 20-year-olds will, like, be able to do that and do it effectively. Okay, you're inevitably committed to one person you're ridiculously attracted to. Awesome, great, into that. And you have to choose between romance or sex, only love and cuddly stuff all the time, or only sexy sex stuff with that person. Which do you choose and why? Okay, I have a problem with this question, like, philosophically. I know I'm going to take this way too seriously. Like, when you say only sexy stuff, when you say only sexy sex stuff, like, does that mean, like, no foreplay? Because foreplay is sexy, but it's also can be really cuddly. At least the way I do it, sex itself can be very cuddly, like a good cuddle fuck or a good like let's hold each other but also like have sexual stuff happening around us. I love cuddling. I love physical contact. I will platonically cuddle. I will romantically cuddle. I will sexually cuddle. It's all good for me. But I also like sex. I believe it or not. I know everyone's shocked. so to have, like, but I don't think one can exist without the other. I don't think it's, like, a strict dichotomy. I think, like, my definition of sex includes cuddling, includes foreplay, includes things which I think this person would define as, like romantic rather than truly intimate. Because sex is intimate by its very definition. And I don't think sex can exist with just two people just, like, banging it out, coming, and then turning around. Because that's not really sex to me. Sex is the foreplay. Sex is the... like getting in the mood. It's like the ritual of it. It's like the beautiful like coming together and like proving an intimacy or proving a trust by letting yourself do it really rough and like really primal and in whatever form it takes. It's by its very definition, if it's someone that you love and someone you're destined to be with, it's going to be both. Sex is going to be both cuddly and dirty, and that's wonderful. So to have one without the other, to have sex without cuddliness, seems like, I don't know, doesn't seem like real to me. Because I can't imagine just like, I don't know. I guess my answer is sex. I'd prefer to have sex because sex is under the definition of sex is stuff that is very cuddly. But if this person is suggesting that you would just, like, bang it out, turn around, like, not have any physical contact, like, when you're sleeping in the same bed, or, like, if you would move to go to, like, a different bed afterwards, and, like, not be able to touch each other, and there'd be no foreplay, and there would be no, like, if you're fucking, like, you can't look at each other, then I think that's ridiculous, but I also don't think that's sex, because I don't think I could personally, like, without even if it's with a stranger, without, like, the visage, of intimacy, I don't think I could, like, do it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Your partner offers you marijuana, saying that the drug use can be a romantic activity. Are you down? Yeah, I'm down. I smoke. I have nothing against, it's legal here, don't worry about that. I have nothing against smoking weed. I have a lot against smoking cigarettes, but I have nothing against smoking weed. So I would be 100% down with that. No doubt. Someone you admire gives you $5,000 worth of material gifts, something you actually really wanted, or $5,000 to vacation somewhere you really wanted to go, given that you were free at the time of vacation, which would be a better option for you? Oh, travel, without a doubt. I'm not a material girl in a material world. I'm sorry, Madonna, you were not singing to me. I love traveling. I love going out there. I love meeting people. And I would love to go to Tokyo, more than anything. I've done a good bit of travel in my life. But I would absolutely love to like spend a week in Tokyo. And with that kind of money, I could get the bare essentials down so that I could, you know, save up a bit and then completely live it up. If you're in a romantic relationship right now, no, I'm not, I'm single. If you're not in a relationship right now, hi, that's me, would you still continue posting, if you got involved in one, would you tell your partner about it? Okay, for me, consent is everything. For me, romantic relationships are about trust above all else. I would have to ask them if they were comfortable with me posting. Probably have a very long conversation about it because I'm not going to do this without them knowing. This is actually, the process of recording is not sterile at all to me. It's very, very intimate. It's very, like, I'll act out the scenes. I'll imagine a person there. If I say I'm doing something that I can be done by myself, I'm doing it. If I say that I'm, like, about to come, I probably am. that's way too intimate for me not to tell a partner about. So I would be very, very honest. And if they were okay with me doing it, then I would 1000% keep going. If they weren't, then we'd probably keep talking about it. And if they still weren't and we decided that after a while it was just what needed to be done, I would stop. That's where I stand on that. But I don't know. In my mind, sex and intimacy, trust, romance, all of that isn't in limited supply. You can provide it to as many people as you want. It's a process of, you know, love and light and that kind of things doesn't have a limit. Are you more of a tea or coffee person? What is your favorite type of flavor? I'm a tea person. I don't like coffee. I'm very, very sensitive. I'm a total lightweight with everything. That's like drugs, alcohol, caffeine, everything. So I drink tea. I drink non-caffeinated, either chamomile or peppermint tea. If you're not fine, what is your favorite beverage? I prefer hot chocolate over tea and coffee though, because I'm an actual child and I like putting whipped cream on things. And if you put whipped cream on tea, people look at you funny. And I don't care for that shit at all. We all have people in our lives we care deeply for. That is true. Philosophically speaking, what is it that makes it so hard to even think about never talking to or seeing these people ever again when there are so many people in the world to form potential lasting relationships with? Why is it that most of us would choose our friends and family over large sums of money if given the choice? I actually have a very long answer for this. So I'm going to like try to summarize it and like keep it to the minimal, or else I might cry. No. Okay. Every single person we meet. Okay, I'm going to start. This is not going to come out good. I think every person existentially is searching for a connection to the infinite, is searching for a way to build themselves bigger, to basically experience either everything or feel fulfillment as if they had experienced everything they could. And I think the way people do this is they travel, they taste all these foods, they do all this sex stuff, they try to grow their some experiences, and that's awesome. I'm super into that. I think some people might look to God or look to spirituality or dedicate themselves to others or an idea, and that's also brilliant and amazing, and we need people like that. I think some people might dedicate themselves to their work, you know, have a routine, do everything they can to master what they do. And that's admirable beyond anything else, because I know for a fact I couldn't do that. But in my head, the way we truly connect ourselves to something greater is by forming very strong emotional, spiritual bonds between people. I think in terms of infinite experience, experiencing another person in their infinite, in their infiniteness, in their ability to be infinite is amazing, is so strong, is so admirable. I mean, you could go with a kind of stark biological definition. You know, humans are social animals. We value companionship because it helps us survive, but in a way it helps us thrive. In a way it makes everything worth it. It makes life worth living, because we're capable of accessing this just infinite capacity, infinite possibility in every single person we meet. So when we start to build those connections, of course we don't want to let them go. Of course we don't want to, you know, let them, we don't want to lose contact, because we were developing something, we were building something, we were learning to understand and love someone in their infinite whatever, infinite glory, infinite good, infinite bad. It is all the same, because it's by its very nature kind of special and spiritual and religious, and by its very nature above anything any one of us can experience, and yet something every single one of us holds. If that makes sense. That might not make sense. I hope it did, because it's kind of the basis of my beliefs, and it's kind of the reason why I started doing this, is because I think, first off, from kind of a hedonistic point of view, it's something pleasurable. And why would we deny ourselves pleasure? But in a sort of my spiritual way, the ability to create, to connect with people, be it emotionally, sexually, anyway, is the only thing we could hope for, and it's only easier in a digital age. Are you a person who is very picky about organization with your paperwork? No, I am not organized. I'm completely messy. I have a Google Docs that is full of script ideas that I want to fill out and I want to do, and I was going to do it tonight, and then I didn't. So now I'm doing this. I'm not remotely organized. Oleander is the only reason why I'm not homeless in a ditch right now. That's just the truth. Them's the facts. You are out at a party, club, dark place with an excessive amount of loud people having fun. And someone behind you wraps their arms around you and starts kissing your neck. You turn around and see who it is, and it's someone very, very attractive who you've never seen before. Do you confront them or reciprocate? This is dodgy. I don't let people touching me without asking. I'm very big on consent. Which is probably why I doubt I'll do like a rape play video or audio, because I'm very like if I don't make it explicitly clear that I want contact, I don't want it, because in my head that's something very holy, that's something very that's bigger than me. So I probably would back them up, because okay, I'm not against making out with strangers at a club. I've done it. I will gladly, if I know you want it and you know I want it, then I will do whatever, anywhere, anytime. Don't give a shit. But if it's unclear, if I didn't make a move saying that I wanted to do it, I didn't want it. So please don't touch me. I hope that didn't come out too mean. What's the story of your first kiss? Okay, this is going to be really silly. I had my first kiss at a county fair, with a individual who I had been dating for a good while. I was very young. I was in high school. This is actually around the same time I met Oleander, but it was not with her. I'm gonna keep out their name, for privacy reasons, obviously, but we were at a county fair, and we were on a Ferris wheel, and as the Ferris wheel, like, reached the top, we were both standing, we were in a cart all by ourselves, we were both holding on to the center of the, the Ferris wheel was set up so it was, like, a circle around a pole, and you could hold on to the pole, and you could see the entire fair, and it was gorgeous. It was all glowy, and bright and beautiful and covered in twinkly lights, and it was gorgeous. And in the background you could see like the highway and the smog and like the grossness of where we lived, but there was the fair and that was gorgeous. So it was the two of us on the Ferris wheel. As we reached the summit, the person, my partner at the time, took hold of my shoulder and put a hand on my waist, and pulled me closer and said, I hope, oh my goodness, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, I know this is the first time you're doing this, and I hope it's something you remember fondly. And kissed me first on my forehead, and then my nose, and then cut my cheeks, put their, hands, their fingers around, my neck, and their cheeks, and their, their thumbs on my cheeks, and then brought me closer, and then kissed me. I had to be on my tippy toes, because they were so much taller than me, and I put, my hand in on the back of their head, and I put my hand on their shoulder, trying to, get tall enough to reach, and it was beautiful, and I really, really enjoyed it. I was really thankful that was my first kiss, instead of so many people who I've heard who were not very happy with theirs. So, yeah, that's my story. Which of the two is considered more arousing to you? A girl wearing your t-shirt, boy shorts, and a pair of knee-high socks, ooh, or a girl in black lacy lingerie? Okay, well, first off, both are gorgeous, in very different ways, both in very fucking sexy, attractive, wonderful ways. So to choose is unfair to me, and I resent that. Kidding petals. Probably wearing my t-shirt. Mainly because I'm usually smaller than the people I date, so it would probably be very tight, which is fine with me. Lingerie is wonderful, though. I love garters. I love a garter belt. I think they are so fucking gorgeous. And stockings. Oh my god. I think stockings, my first thought is like, I want to bite that. I want to rip that with my teeth. And that's... Oh, fuck. That looks gorgeous. Because they provide very different images, don't they? Because I can imagine, like, sleepily waking up to a girl and like, a t-shirt and, like, boy shorts and a pair of knee-high socks and just, like, making breakfast together and, like, very soft, very, like, warm sun beaming through the windows and, you know, very cuddly, cutesy memories and, you know, kissing in the kitchen, and I think that's wonderful, and oh my, I'm blushing thinking about it. But the second one is very... black lacy lingerie. It's very, hi, you, me, bed, now. Like, this is important. So I could definitely, like, I could do a lot with both of those. Let's just do a gauge of, like, which one's arousing me most right now. I think right now I would want, lingerie, because I'm drunk and horny. Hope that didn't ruin anyone's fantasy. Hi, I'm sitting in front of a fireplace in a t-shirt and underwear with velvet on it. And I am horny. Whoops. Maybe I'll edit that out. Maybe I won't. I don't know. If you're attracted to guys, hi, I'm attracted to both. So I get twice as many questions, or double this question, number 15. What? Are you more into Don Draper-esque men? Okay, like stern, businessy, suit and tie men, or laid back? Both. I'm more of a suit and tie girl. I'm a complete sucker for a suit and tie. Because, oh my god, like undoing someone's tie, or like, and then just like slowly like letting everything fall off, or being told what to do by someone in like a suit and tie. That's, that's very, 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 very arousing. But the laid-back t-shirt and jeans, like, I feel like a stern businessman who can, like, take, at the end of the day, like, take off all the, like, trappings of stern and business, maintain the same aura, maybe, but, like, be able to, like, lay himself and, like, slip into that, like, more laid-back style. That's, like, that's ideal. Because the same thing for girls, too. Like, to be able to transition between the laid-back knee socks and boy shorts and the lingerie is impressive. It's like yin and yang. You need a bit of both. It's all very fluid. But, like, final, like, answers, I would say a girl in t-shirt and a guy in a business suit. Because I'm not going to finish that sentence. Now my laugh is so obnoxious. I'm gonna listen to this over again and realize how obnoxious I am. That's not fun. Would you share a main "this is where we always sleep" bed with a partner you're beginning a new relationship with, or would you choose to have separate rooms? Which and why? I'm the world's biggest cuddle monster, so if I could share a bed with someone, I would. If only Annie would let me share a bed with her, I would. Like, that's not even, that's like, no, I'm the world's biggest cuddle monster. I constantly want to be with someone, like a person, and I want to hold them or I want to be held, and I just want to, like, hold, like, physical contact. This is going to come off as I'm super needy. Hi, I'm super needy. Oh, God. Oh, goodness. This is 30 minutes long. No one wanted this. You're having a one-night stand with someone, or sex with a booty call fuck buddy, basically someone you don't really care about. I will have you know, my fuck buddy is my best friend, so I do care about her. And when they come, they scream someone else's name. How'd you feel about it? I don't think I would care that much. Is that sad? I'd probably tease them about it. I would my current fuck buddy is Oleander, right? So I would definitely tease her about it. But if it was just like a guy I hooked up with like once, or a girl I hooked up with like once, I probably wouldn't care. Oh my god, I probably wouldn't care very much, because it's not really any of my business. Who they're into or what's going on, just because like we're not together, and I just don't have the really the I don't really have the right to be jealous at that point. Can you drink a whole glass of whole dairy milk? No, I cannot, because I don't really like milk. I'll drink almond milk. I like almond milk a lot. I like hemp milk too. I don't really like cow milk very much. I guess I could drink it. I don't know. I haven't tried. I have enough calcium in my bones, and I'm happy with that. Are you one of those people who enjoy the smell of gasoline? Not really. I have no strong feelings towards the smell of gasoline. There are some other smells I like. I like peppermint hot chocolate. That is my favorite scent. When it comes to the placement of your partner's hands during sex, rate these from least arousing to most arousing. If you didn't gather from my list of hair products, I love people messing with my hair. I love my hair. I take a lot of pride in it. And my hair is high up there. Digging nails under my back. I like nails. I like girls. I don't like girls with long nails, but I like girls who use their nails. Like, I just started scratching myself. I'm very horny. This is not fair. I'm definitely going to listen to some of y'all's shit after this. Okay. Fingers in my mouth, number one. Number one, always. Hair, number two. In terms of most arousing. So fingers in the mouth, most arousing. In the hair, second most arousing. Spanking, I could say third. Third. It's tied between second and third, but third. Digging nails, fourth. Grabbing onto shoulders, legs, fifth. Holding hand, sixth. Not that it's not arousing, it's just not the other things. I mean, the other things were so bomb. Someone you've never met before comes up to you, asking if you're that person from GWA, as your voice sounds suspiciously familiar to someone who posts there. Do you choose to give yourself away? Probably not. I don't know, it depends. I think my voice varies a lot. I think right now it's not really its normal self. I don't know. I really have no idea what I would do. I'd probably say no, though, because I'm kind of a private person. Also, I don't know how you'd be able to do that. There's like thousands of people here, and I'm not the most popular. So probably no. Alternatively, if someone asked if you'd heard of this little place in the internet called Grunwald Audio, do you confirm or deny? Okay, before I started posting here, I would literally tell other people about it, because I thought it was awesome, and I'm very pro-sex and pro-masturbation, and I'm very, like, decadent slut sexual revolution, so yes, I would 1000% say that I had been there, that I would used it, and if they found me on it, and they were someone I knew, and were, you know, they were chill, great. I'd be fine with that. I would definitely say what are some occupations you wanted to have as a kid? Well, I'm not going to tell you one of them, because it's what I am studying to do now. And if one of y'all, like, showed up and, like, had me as a client, or if I had one of y'all as a client, you'd be confused. So that might give me away. I can actually tell you some that I wanted and that I did. I was a cosplayer for a while. Still do it on occasion. I was a mermaid at a Ren Fair. I have, like, a tail, and I would play in, like, a water stage thing, and I would give, if people, you know, gave me money, I would give them, like, I would dive down, and I would give them tiny shells, and I would talk to them, and just the cutest little high-pitched voice, and I would tell them about everything that was so wonderful about living in the ocean, and, that was part of my life, and I very much enjoyed it, and it was something I wanted to do, since I was, like, a teenager, and it was super duper cool, to be able to do that, and I still do it on occasion. I also still cosplay, so those are parts of my life. Things I wanted to do for a long time, and I finally did. Something that I didn't do is that for a while, I wanted to be a, lawyer, and I did. I
took, I was did my debate club when I was younger, and I swear I cried. I cannot argue for anything because I lined out these really great arguments and I'm like really well researched, but then I get on stage and I look at someone in the eye and I start crying. So I couldn't do that. I also wanted to be a vet because I love animals. I didn't do that because that takes a lot of school work and I would have to be a doctor. And also, I don't want to like give an animal a shot. Like, I don't want to have to like I want to take care of the animal, but more like I want to play with animals all day. And I don't want to make like hard decisions like having to give it surgery or like having to see an animal suffer because I'm weak. We're just learning that Clover is weak. That's a great thing to learn. We're almost to the end. We're at 24 of 26. Okay. Do you consider yourself a grown-up? No. Do you think there is a set grown-up age where someone is expected to have their life together? No. I don't think there's a time when you're automatically grown-up. I'm 22. I've gone through schooling a lot. I've learned a lot. I think I'm a lot better than I was even 6 months ago, even a year ago, even definitely, you know, 2 years ago, when I was 20. We all change. We all grow. And I know I'm not a grown-up, and I know I probably won't be for a long time, and I know there will be a time where there'll be pressure for me to, you know, get my shit together. That is not right now, and that is okay. I'm very happy with that. But I think from, like, even if you're in your, like, 50s, it doesn't matter. You're not required to be a grown-up, because growing old and growing up aren't the same thing. We grow constantly, but there's not a time when we have to, like, put aside our vulnerabilities and put aside our, like, instincts and our childishness and our whimsy and our love and our, you know, wild youth adolescence bullshit, because, you know, this is gonna sound stupid, but I don't care right now, So, you know Russian nesting dolls? They're called matryoshkas. And you have the tiny baby at the bottom, and they keep getting bigger as you go out, so you have to peel back the big ones to get to the little baby, the baby matryoshka. I think we're born as the baby matryoshka, and we build up walls and walls built with experiences and memories and lessons we've learned and the love that we have for others. And we build ourselves up from a baby, and over the years and over the layers, we have more and more and more and more. So we become the person that we are today. But the thing is, unlike a matryoshka, you continue to build. You never stop. You never stop building new layers. So growing up implies that there's an end. And there's never, ever an end until you die. So, no, I don't think there's a set grown-up age. No, I don't think I'm a grown-up. I think I'm going to, like, I want to be a lifetime learner. I want to be a lifetime grower. I want to keep building those, you know, facets and sides of myself with wonderful memories and people who I love and lessons that I continue to learn as long as I live. Which first date would you prefer? Movie at home, cuddles and a homemade dinner, or a movie at the theater, fancy schmancy dinner? I don't go to people's houses on the first date because that implies I'm going to have sex, and I don't really like having sex on the first date unless it's a hookup. Because if I have sex on the first date, there might not be a second date. That's not like a set rule I have. It's just something I prefer doing. So I'd probably go to a movie. I love movies. I'm a big old film nerd. I'm a big old nerd, period. So probably to the movies. Improvise a sex scene right now. No, I'm tired. I'm really horny, but I'm also really tired. Or just say how your day was. I'm gonna say how my day was. I woke up. It's a waste of time. Robert California from The Office said that when you start by waking up, you waste everybody's time. So, suddenly, I was awake. I love The Office. I did some work. I went to the grocery. I cooked. I went out to lunch. Oh my god, I'm so boring. It's Christmas break. Leave me alone. It's like that gap between Christmas and New Year's where, like, nothing is real. I watched an old movie. I watched The Dolly Sisters. And I kept getting frustrated because I didn't like the big conflict, which is, like, should this girl choose her career or some guy who's treated her badly for a lot of this? And maybe I'm, like, a Scrooge, but, like, get on your grind, girl. You're young. You're gorgeous. You have a future ahead of you. Go off. Do showbiz. Get wild. Get funky. Ditch him. He's going to the war anyway, and he's probably going to die. That's really mean and insensitive, and I'm not mean and insensitive. I'm just very tired and kind of drunk. Okay. What else happened? It's very cold. I'm not designed for the cold. I'm a summer baby. I do not like it being cold. So I've been by the fire. I've carried an electric heater with me every day, everywhere. And I've had to bulk up on layers. Right now I finally got the heaters to work in the house. So it's warm enough for me to not wear pants, which is perfect because I hate wearing pants. So I'm just wearing a giant flannel and underwear with velvet on it. Because velvet is the best fabric. It's it feels like luxury. Also, if you lick it, if someone else was wearing velvet underwear, right? If you lick it, then you leave a little bit of an imprint and you can oh fuck. It said improvise a sex scene. This is it. This is me talking about velvet underwear and how fucking sexy it is. No one wanted this, and yet you're all getting it. Sending my love, and I don't know how to end this. I do not know how to end this. Okay. Live from my living room, this has been Clover signing off on another day. I'm gonna go masturbate. Bye!